Welcome to LOA Today. I'm Walt Thiessen here with Alex King and Life Coach Joel Edelston. Today is Thursday, May the 9th, 2019. It's 8 a.m. in New York, 5 a.m. in Los Angeles, 1 p.m. in London, and in Sydney, Australia, it's 10 p.m. wherever you are in the world. Thank you for joining us for another episode of LOA Today, your daily dose of happy. And guys, I got to tell you, I got another email from a listener just yesterday. He loves the podcast, absolutely loves it. He's been listening for the last couple months, he says, and he asked me for access to all of the old podcasts that are older than like 50 episodes back, because that's how much you can see on iTunes and Androids and so forth. Mm-hmm. And you know, I'd even pay money for that every month. And you've been asking for a way to monetize. There's a way to monetize. I said, that's a good idea. I should probably get that going. So
yeah.
Brian, thank you very much for writing it. I love the idea. And I was actually thinking, Alex, about doing it as a Patreon page.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because that way it's more voluntary that way, right?
Right.
I like that approach. I like that a lot. So, yeah, good idea. And Joel, it's good to have you back. We've been missing you for the last couple of weeks, but how's it been going? I hope it's been going well for you.
Things have been great. Just keeping busy. Have just always an incredible, you know, amount of work and opportunity more than work is, so last week I was actually testifying on behalf of a client in court.
Oh my.
It went really well and, the result was good. So, I mean, I'm loving what I do and life has been incredible.
Excellent. Excellent. Well, I can't say that I've got a topic figured out for today. Although, Alex, I did mention to you a sort of a little mini start of the, you know, the topic that's usually all Joel and I need anyway, and you too, you know, because
yep.
It's one little thing and then it takes off from there. But, Joel, I was talking to Alex about, you know, how people sometimes will discuss whether to use the word want or desire when they're trying to manifest something. And there are some people who argue, well, you don't really want to say want because want means you don't have it. So you're in a lack position. So you want to say desire. And so I was thinking about that and I realized there's actually not a whole lot of difference between want and desire, because desire is really just want with a little more passion attached to it. So now you're lacking with a great deal of passion, which doesn't seem all that effective. So then I was thinking, what other words are there? And I realized, well, there's choose. Choose has a little bit more strong connotation to it. And then one step beyond that would be claim. That's like choosing with some passion attached to that.
Mm-hmm.
But ultimately, I guess it really comes down to one thing, and that is, how are you feeling about it when you're thinking? It doesn't really matter what the word is, although those certain words seem to have more of a positive connotation in our culture. But I was curious to know what your take might be on that.
Are you asking me?
I'll start
if you want.
Yeah.
Okay. Good. To me, this has always been the hardest part, because and the words are irrelevant to me. Desire or want or craving or whatever, it indicates a lack. And that's what picks up on for me, that the law of attraction will respond to a craving in a negative way, or a thought or a want that is based out of lack. So, you know, that becomes the vicious thing. You're trying to, how do you manifest something that you can't really want? At the same time, it's sort of the big conundrum and where we get all backwards. So going back to the basics for me is how you feel about something. You nailed it with the law of attraction responds to energy. It doesn't care about words. It responds to the emotion you're feeling attached at that moment. And so that's where feeling like you have what you want, feeling like you are fulfilled within that. The secret, you know, Rhonda does a really good job in the beginning of making that the point that, you know, you have to feel like you have the abundance. She was making this documentary/movie of The Secret in the beginning, and she was running out of money, and she started wanting to attract more money, and she realized she was in a place of lack. So she literally went and accessed a bunch of credit card money. She should, you know, any financial person would say that's the stupidest thing to do. Mm-hmm. And she started handing out money to people on the streets to feel the abundance. And so she, she had to get away from the desire and the, and that's where it gets, so hard, because people are saying, I'm trying so hard to manifest what this and it's not working. And then, you know, I use this example a lot, but you'll often hear that followed with this, everything else in my life is going really well, but the thing that I'm focused on is what's not. And that's how, and that, that's the clue to the universe right there. So learning to feel as if you have is the solution. And that, like having an abundance, having plenty of financial, you don't have to think about it. I'm not trying to manifest money by acting like I have it or feeling like I have a lack of it. I'm manifesting more of it by living as if I have plenty. And the result is I have plenty. And that's just, it sounds so ridiculous to the person who may be listening the first time. It's like, you're not making any sense, mm-hmm. but it's the emotion that is vibrating when you're feeling. If you know, every time that we go on this topic, and I love this topic because it is to me the dividing line between making this work and not work. But if you historically struggle with money, then money is your problem. If you historically struggle with relationship is your problem. And when you start with the law of attraction, the other parts of your life seem to fix. Oh, wow, this is fantastic. It's great. It because you're not focused on it. But the money part, where all your energy, I can never manifest money, or I can never manifest a relationship, or get rid of, you know, what you're worried about. You know, I want to manifest good mental health, or I want a good physical health. Well, if you're thinking about it, then you're actually, you're living in the negative. You're actually desiring that is the lack attracted energy that comes with that is what's attached. And it sounds very confusing. I apologize to the listener, but it's really hard to define.
Oh, yeah. It's very hard to define. So instead of you and me trying to define it, I'm going to go to our expert in definitions, Alex King, who's got her ears on today. And when I say, Joel, that she has her ears on, I know you're on the phone, so you can't see this, but she has her headphones now set up with two little, like, dog or cat ears sticking out of the top of her head. So
they're rhinestone cat ears.
They're the rhinestone. Yeah,
nice.
Rhinestone cat ears. Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's a different phrase. It used to be 30 years ago, having your ears on meant that you were a truck driver and you were on the CB, radio, but not today.
Yep.
Today, having your ears on is literally having ears on. So
just
say. Yeah, and before Alex responds, I'm so grateful I live in a world that rhinestone cat ears exist.
Right?
That's great.
That is
so, Alex, do you use do you really care what words you're using when you're making your requests and putting out your thoughts and feelings to the universe, or does it not really matter, or do you have particular favorites, or how do you do it?
Yes, I do choose my words very carefully because I'm a firm believer in speaking things into existence. So I like to, most of the time I don't even realize I'm doing it, but I always choose my words carefully. Like when the story I was telling you about the steroid shot in my back,
mm-hmm.
and how I'm used to it being a very painful experience. Except for this time I went in and I was like, this isn't going to hurt. And I was like, no, that doesn't sound right. That still has hurt in it. And I was like, okay, I won't feel any pain. And I was like, nope, that's still got pain in it. I don't like it. So then I was like, all right, let me breathe for a second, loosen up my grip. Cause I was already like this,
yeah.
Like sitting on the table, like waiting. And then I was like, you know what? This is going to be painless. And I was like, that's close enough.
mm-hmm.
And then they gave me this shot and I didn't feel a thing.
And that's it. I mean, because what you really did, it wasn't so much the word. You found the word, or you found the thought that for you,
that
evoked the feeling. It evoked
yeah.
the feeling you were looking for. I mean, mm-hmm. Rhonda went a little bit to the extreme. She went out and threw all her money away because she knew that would give her the feeling she was looking for. She was looking
that
for the feeling of being wealthy. Yeah. So, I mean, however you get there, we don't really recommend just giving all your money away in order to get the feeling. If there are better ways to do that, you know, there are other ways you can get the feeling. You don't have to go that far.
Mm-hmm.
But that's what you're trying to do. You're trying to get the feeling going. And
So
I think we're all in agreement here. That feeling is what makes the difference.
Mm-hmm.
So why is it, Joel, that we get so tripped up on words when it's the feeling? I mean, it seems like we should be focusing on the feeling.
Well, that is the ultimate goal. And just exactly like Alex pointing out, the, you know, words and feelings, we use words to communicate. And not just with other people, we use words to communicate with ourselves. And, and at the end of the day, it is the subconscious where this takes place. So the subconscious can only really respond to emotion. So the words on one level don't matter. It really doesn't as much as what you're feeling. But it, for a lot of people, they're so intertwined. I know, you know, I tend to be, I'm very much a word person. That helps a lot. I do a lot of, I'm very verbal and so my emotions are directly tied to how I say things. So I know that. And so I will work on the feeling of abundance, the feeling of whatever I think I'm really trying to attract or speak into existence. I'm all about the mantras. I'm all about saying it, but just like the dance of how do you have a pain-free experience without using the word pain? How do you even, you know, that's the, you know, it's like when people are, this sounds so silly, but I have a client that is just an amazing person, and she's struggled greatly with her weight, and her issue for her, and I mean, for her whole adult life and really her adolescence was her weight. And she will go on every diet and she'll follow it perfectly and lose a lot of weight and then just go into this, you know, eat one piece of something and then lose control. And she gains all her weight back plus some, and she's in this vicious circle. So what we did, you know, what we worked on was you're focused on losing weight. We got to take weight out of the equation. And we really worked hard on her changing her perspective to health. She's very healthy. She feels fantastic. Not having to understand that, you know, she will feel fantastic when she's at a healthy weight. And once she stepped away from it being about the weight and just about she was living and feeling good. She felt great and she focused on that. Very little change. She quit craving the stuff that was hurting her. Then she eventually, she lost over like 70 pounds in a year. Health in a very healthy manner with changing the focus to help from losing weight. And I know that sounds silly, but it was really important to her. And that one change gave her a different perspective.
Well, it doesn't sound silly to me at all. It sounds actually quite reasonable. In fact, I would like to hear more stories like that. I think there are probably a lot of people with weight issues out there who would like to hear more stories like that to kind of reinforce. Okay, yeah, that's the way to go. That's what I got to be focusing on for myself in order to make the changes. Because, I mean, there are so many people who just go from one diet to the next and they never get anywhere.
Well, and again, when you're constantly Googling, you know, the best diet or arguing is keto the right diet? Is this the right diet? Is this the right diet? You are actually, again, putting out to the universe, okay, I'm so desperate. I want to, versus the instinctual ability I need to, you know, at the end of the day, and you can argue this for people forever. I'm a certified health coach as well. At the end of the day, expending more energy than you take in will make you lose weight. That's it. I mean, there are some arguments that you cut out carbs, especially when you have certain, other issues going on. I get all that, but the truth is when you're so focused and all your energy, I forget how many billions of dollars are spent on weight loss products every year. But in a sense, they need to not work to keep the billions of dollars coming in. So, I'm not saying it's on purpose, but at the same time, when so much of it is, you know, you got to do this, you got to do this versus I'm healthy. I'm feeling great. And part of my health is a very quality, healthy body weight. It is a healthy appetite. It's not a starving appetite, nor is it a gorging appetite. It's a healthy appetite, feeding your body, getting the right, and all that adjustment mentally is where to go. Where there's, you know, like I said, the weight thing is really big. I'm soon going to be launching my hypnotherapy practice. I've been really I've been doing a lot of a training. I've done with the clinical training, and I'm actually in the process of just the practical daily. I need to get a few hundred more hours of time in before I'm really comfortable doing hypnotherapy. But the hypnotherapy that I'm working on, the verbiage I'm using is never going to, for people that want to lose weight, will never use the word weight. It's not that. It's a healthy perspective. It's the same thing with anxiety, or when you're focused on, you know, the anti-anxiety or the anti-weight or all that, you are unintentionally, the emotion is there in the law of attraction. While it's the law of attraction used that way is brutal because it's not relenting. It doesn't care, as we say almost every week, about what you're, is it good or bad, or what you're after or not after. It has no opinion. It can only respond to the emotion that you're attaching to that, what you're seeking or think you're seeking.
I remember a really great story you told a while back. I don't remember exactly how far back, but there was a family you worked with that had severe, the entire family had severe weight issues. And I remember you told a story about how you took them to the grocery store. And it was an excellent example of how you encourage somebody to focus on the stuff they need to focus on rather than the stuff that they usually focus on. Can you remember that story?
Yes.
I've
done it several times, so I don't remember that specific one, but I often will do that. I will go to a grocery store, and you know, when you go in a grocery store, you almost have this habit of what you're going to get. And, one of the first things that I do now is I have, I have a lot of almonds and walnuts. It's very healthy. Before I take somebody in the grocery store, I make sure they eat a handful of almonds or walnuts, assuming they're not allergic, of course. And so that helps with a lot with craving. So when you're in a grocery store and you're craving and you look at, it's almost, again, you know, let's look at Kraft macaroni and cheese. You're looking at the carbs attached to that. There's a release, an endorphin release when you see the box, when you have an issue with that kind of stuff. And so, you know, by literally, you know, giving somebody some almonds before they walk in a grocery store, or, and again, there's other things they can eat too if that doesn't work for them. But having sort of that satiated feeling when you walk in, and then look at the food, look at, you know, the greens and all the stuff that the healthy stuff, and really learn to focus on the health of it versus the sort of the release of the other stuff, you know, with when the center part of the grocery store where so much processed food takes place. And, you know, I personally, and everybody has their own journey, I personally I'm not capable of eating a few potato chips. I don't think a few potato chips hurts anyone, but Joel is not capable of eating a few. I can eat two bags. I can eat one of those extra large bags easily. It's no problem.
Wow.
But two potato chips, that's like impossible. So, yeah.
Well, they did a commercial about you many years ago. Nobody can eat just one.
Exactly. One of my problems is because I made it a problem, but my craving is, you know, like with chocolate, I'm fine if there's no chocolate in my house, but Justin, my son laughed at me last Christmas because I was going to eat some, the little Hershey Kisses. I love little Hershey Kisses.
Oh boy. It's a gateway drug.
I know it's a mainline drug for me because I open up before I even start. This is how it goes. I'll open 15 Hershey Kisses and have them unwrapped because once I start eating them, I don't have the patience to unwrap. I'm like an addict opening them up. So I line them up. I do not have time for wrappers when I'm in my. So knowing all that, knowing that's my reality and that's how my brain works, I'm fine if there's no Hershey Kisses in my environment. I'm not giving them energy. They're not in my environment. But when I give them energy, wow. Yeah. I just go. I go full blast.
Mm-hmm.
Mental note to self, don't give Joel Hershey's Kisses.
Don't give Joel chocolate, period.
Yes, yes.
Well, I mean, keep the bag away from him, because, I mean, if he sees the bag, it's gone. It's all over.
It's a problem.
Yeah. That's how my brain works. And since that's what I believe will happen, that's what will happen.
Yeah.
And, there was a great study, and I wish if I could find the link to that, I'll send it to Walt. Maybe he could post it, but there's a great study. They took people into, a room, and they were there for, I'm trying to come up with the concept. They thought they were there for a study. They were, but they wasn't there. It wasn't for the study. They thought they were there. And so they had two rooms. They had some fresh Krispy Kreme donuts, warm, just out of the oven. You know, how the sugar just sort of floats off. It's amazing. And they had a whole tray of there. And then they were going to do a cognitive test. And what they would do is they told one group, have as many as you want, just take your time. And they would tell the other group, you cannot have any until after the test. And they put them in a room. There was no supervision. They had cameras, of course, but there was no supervision. And they made them wait for several minutes. Mm-hmm. Now the group that had as much as you want to eat or whatever, they weren't fighting. They had, most of them had a couple and just didn't. Clearly I wasn't there, but most of them had a couple and they were done with it, and they scored much higher on the cognitive test because they were not sitting in there with a want or a desire or a lack. Mm-hmm. Well, the other ones that truly sat there and fought it. There's even a few of them that snuck one, you know, they're told you know, if you eat them, that's going to invalidate the study. And they still snuck them and ate them. But the ones that had to expend their willpower, it's like they put so much energy fighting it, they scored significantly less on the cognitive functioning. Mm-hmm. And these are equal, you know, and beforehand they all scored about the same. So when you sit there and you spend or expend that energy, wasting energy on I can't do this, I can't do this, I can't do this, the law of attraction, the energy put with that is huge. So you're depleting your resources, willpower, you know, when you're fighting it from I can't have it versus I already have it. It makes a big difference, not just in the way you're using the law of attraction, but also how you're cognitively functioning, which will eventually affect the law of attraction because you're living in that and you become used to that deficit. And it's a fascinating story. It's much more complex than that, but that study was very, I love the way it was done because it just demonstrated how over the, when you overthink or over desire or you spend a lot of energy not wanting something, it has a not just law of attraction effects, but it has other effects in your life that I think is all connected.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Absolutely. That's a very interesting study. It kind of reminded me, I referred earlier to the story you had told many, many episodes ago about the overweight family. And one aspect of that story that I remember very vividly is how when you walked into the grocery store with them, you said to them, okay, now we can buy anything around the outside edge of the store, but we can't buy anything in the aisles. And I thought that was a brilliant way of not only saying, well, that's where all the healthy food is, but also of redirecting attention. Because
Right. Like
you said, all they have to do is see that package of potato chips or whatever it is, and it just sends off signals in their brain, and they start, you know, salivating and all this other stuff. And you basically undercut all of that by saying, we're not going to even look at that stuff. We're going to look at the healthy stuff.
Yep.
We're going to spend all of our time putting our attention on that. And
yes.
By essentially, you took away the temptation. You didn't put the tray of donuts in the room. You just didn't have a tray of donuts at all.
Right.
Well, and instead of focusing on, and I remember that one particular family story where I sort of derived all this concept is that's been a long time ago. Mm-hmm. But as I said, I've moved forward in a lot of ways, but I still use that same instead of, there's zero energy spent on what you can't look. In fact, mm-hmm. I've reframed it even more. We go to the store that I go to has a wonderful, huge organic, fresh, all that stuff. And I literally say, you can buy it. Here's the area. Buy whatever you want right here.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And that's, and then we're going to go. That's your food. And we're not going anywhere else this way. We're going right here, but there's limitless. I use word limitless. It's whatever you want, whatever you want. And so look at the, wow, look how fresh that looks. And then you start sort of getting the connection, like, you know, wow, that, look at that, that beautiful, you know, box of strawberries or those blueberries. Look how tasty they look. And I will, you know, sort of pump all that up and say, look how fresh. And then really it's, they're coming from a place of, wow, this is good. And now they're looking at it as a healthy choice. And we don't even go to the other sides where there's that going on. And then once they're conditioned to shop that area, then we're off to the races in a good way, in a really good way, because you're reframing that. And, you know, you can, if you're shopping that area, there's really, you cannot eat enough food to not, I mean, you have all the spinach and broccoli as spinach and broccoli, you know, without additives. You can have all that you want there. I mean, there's just no limit to that. Have whatever you want there. Mm-hmm. Have 5 pounds of spinach. It doesn't matter. You're good.
I'm not sure if I could do 5 pounds of spinach in one sitting, but yeah, okay. I understand.
No, you couldn't, but I mean, for me personally, I'm very much, I eat, you know, pretty much a ton of spinach, I eat everything raw. I love raw spinach. I love raw broccoli, carrots. I eat all that raw. So there's even more benefit or enzymes attached to all that. But you don't have to go that far. But the point is, it isn't even the eating. It's just understanding when you're coming from an abundance, I can have whatever I want versus you can't have that. But that's where you set yourself up.
Yeah.
No, I can have whatever I want. I'm in this area, or, you know, like another way to do it, if you're fortunate enough to have a Whole Foods store, you know, they have a bigger section. They're very expensive. That's where I shop actually, but they're pretty expensive. But at the same time, you know, it's even divided better because it's about half the store that you have. You can just shop all of it. And you know, there's still some areas that, you know, you need to sort of stay away from. But again, the focus is on all the other stuff.
Right.
That's good stuff that we have. We have that opportunity. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
By the way, you couldn't see it, but Alex was shaking her head no over the thing about eating raw food. It was not resonating with her at all.
No, I don't mind. I mean, I'm very picky with my vegetables. I'm a picky eater in general. So, but raw is not how I live my life. If awesome. I'm going to do it raw, I need dip.
I love it.
Yeah. We don't generally add dip to our stuff, but you know, I mean, it's your world. But it's funny. It's funny because one of the things I find very interesting is I cannot eat cooked spinach. I'm a consistency guy. I can't eat cooked cabbage, but I love crispy spinach or cabbage, you know, that's really fresh. I can eat that all day.
Mm-hmm.
And like I take spinach. And then I get some really good olive oil, and I'll just sort of have spinach and sort of drizzle olive oil on it. Oh my goodness, that's wonderful.
That sounds good.
And so those are, but again, it's where your focus is. It's where, you know, this is how this works is where your focus and the emotion attached. So when I'm the grocery store is an example, when I'm working with this family, if I go say, you can't go here, then they want to go there. But then I say, you can have all you want here, all of it. This is the area we're shopping. You have all of it. And they retrain it. The kids complain in the beginning, we don't have anything. Then after a while, it's like when I gave up sodas, I haven't had a soda in probably 15 years. And the thought of drinking a soda is sickening to me. At the time, I couldn't imagine giving them up.
Mm-hmm.
I know exactly what you mean. I feel the same way. Of course, in my case, I got rid of sodas after I saw an auto mechanic, pour a soda over a battery to get the corrosion off. And when I realized what I was doing inside me, I said, I was done, and I haven't touched soda since then. That was 30 years ago.
Well, I wasn't raised on soda, so that I just never got that addicted to it. Plus, the bubbles burn my tongue, and I don't like that. So I don't do soda.
Well, I think I start with everyone. When I'm looking, I mean, it's part of my whole concept, but because I touch on nutrition no matter who my client is. Mm-hmm. And we start with water becoming your source of liquid every day. Water, water, water. You do away, you know, diet soda has chemicals in there that don't serve you. Coffee, you know, good, decent coffee is not terrible, but water, tea with no sweetener, coffee with no sweetener, that's what it becomes. It becomes such a, that is the biggest step you can take toward health.
Mm-hmm.
Well, plus Alex was demonstrating to me just the other day, because she mentioned she doesn't like just plain water. So she takes one of these colored waters, you know, that has a little flavoring in it, and it gives her something that makes it feel like it's not just water, but she's basically drinking water.
Yeah.
Yeah, you gotta trick yourself sometimes.
You get what?
Yeah.
So you gotta trick yourself sometimes.
You gotta trick yourself. Yeah, that's right. Exactly.
There's I don't ever know what happened, but it was a startup company a few years ago, and it made a cup that you could pour water into it, and it had, like, for example, it had a very distinct strawberry scent in the cup. Mm-hmm. So when you would drink it, right under your nose was a strawberry scent. Now, you weren't drinking anything strawberry, but you were convinced mm-hmm. that you were drinking strawberry water because you're smelling it while you're drinking. I don't ever know what happened to that, because I thought that was the most brilliant idea on the planet. and I have no idea what happened to it. But it's such a perfect way to do it.
Well, they probably never figured out how to make it blueberry and orange and peach and all the other flavors, too. And they tried to stick to strawberry, and they lost the market.
Well, they did come out with a water bottle that has, like, a little filter device or something in there where you can pick the flavor, and you can pick – You can twist the cap and pick how much, like how strong you want the flavor.
Oh, wow.
And so when you're drinking it, you're getting your flavored water.
Yeah. So I think all of that, well, but, and so much of it is, again, when you're not satisfied in life, whether it's eating or drinking or having money or having a relationship or whatever, mm-hmm. when you're living from a unsatisfied point in life, and that's the energy you're putting out. The law of attraction assumes that's what you're wanting. Again, it doesn't care. It's simply saying, well, this person clearly doesn't want, you know, this is what they want to live in. They want to live in this uncertainty, and they want to live that way, manifesting even more and more problems. So, I mean, it is such a dance as we do this. It's such an important dance as we go forward, with, you know, working on all this and understanding as our audience is listening, you know, you start off and you read The Secret, or you get attracted to the law of attraction. You're thinking, okay, so all I got to do is be grateful. Well, yeah, maybe. But then we go deeper. Then we go deeper, and it's like, okay, now we're way away from where we started. Mm. And it's just understanding the emotion that is what we're putting out, regardless of what we're trying. If you are living as if you have what you're seeking, you will speak into existence what you want. That part is a fact, non-negotiable. Mm-hmm. I've experienced that in my life.
And not just the emotional feeling, any kind of feeling. I mean, physical feeling. Just yes. Putting yourself into that real space in your mind.
Yes.
In fact, you mentioned a little while back here in the show that you're a hypnotherapist. You're developing that side of your practice, so to speak. And hypnotherapy is kind of like, it's kind of similar to what you were talking about when you go into the grocery store and you're telling somebody, oh, you can have anything in this wonderful selection of delicious food and so forth. You're programming that way. That's essentially what hypnotherapy is all about, right? And I guess the question in my mind is, which one's more effective, or does it really matter?
Well, I think it's all hypnotherapy on some level. You know, it's, you know, the idea that hypnotherapy, the attempt of hypnotherapy is to get directly to the subconscious, which is, you know, there are times that, you know, I will have an emotion. I'm trying to figure out what my emotion or feeling is. And there's, when I say anxiety, I don't mean a deep, tradition, more of a stress feeling. There are times when I'll have sort of an undefined stress. I'm like, I feel something. I don't really know what that's about. And you know, it's whatever's going on, whether it's the pace of the day or, and I try really hard to stop and get to the point of feeling that just that relaxed, life's wonderful, all that. I do a lot with hypnotherapy. You're doing the same thing. You're trying to get to the subconscious to bypass the stress feelings. Hypnotherapy, I've witnessed a lady have a root canal under hypnotherapy with absolutely no painkillers, no deadening agents, just simply having a root canal in a deep hypnotherapeutic trance was amazing to watch. I would not be comfortable being the hypnotherapist with that.
I'm not comfortable being the patient with that. I mean, to act with that.
Yeah. Well, but again, you have to be so convinced of that. That's the,
right.
That's the point of it.
It's all on how you look at it.
Yeah. She is so into the hypnotherapy and her therapist are so in tune that she felt so comfortable. Mm-hmm. I mean, she could, you know, she was wide awake and I was in the room. I asked her what she felt. She said, she said, I feel this, but I am not associating it with any discomfort. I feel mm-hmm. fine. I feel the movement. I feel the, you know, I can feel the action taking place, but it's not uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. And it was just amazing. She wasn't unconscious. She was simply in a sort of a trance state, you know, sort of in a transcendental, a deep transcendental type state that she was able to not allow the pain to process in her brain. Mm-hmm. And, it's a very high level to get to, but her healing time, once she was done with it, I followed up a week later, her and her hypnotherapist did a lot of healing. Every day he did about a 15-20 minute session with her, mm-hmm. about sort of helping her heal. She healed at an incredible rate. Again, never was on any painkillers or anything. It's an amazing process that the brain can do. And that's law of attraction stuff. But I've always felt that hypnotherapy combined with law of attraction effort, is the ultimate way to get there. Now I haven't gotten it perfected yet. But I'm really a believer that hypnotherapy is a great tool. I don't know if anybody's ever used it completely the way it could be or where it goes, but it's also attacking, or I don't even like the word attacking, it's attaching to the subconscious and sort of accessing it, more directly. Because when you say your mantras or you say the words, you're trying to convince the subconscious of something, but if you have a direct connection to the subconscious, you can bypass a lot of time and get that done quicker.
Yeah, that makes sense. I also have a question about hypnotherapy because my impression may be wrong. So, you know, you can straighten me out if you need to, but my impression is that with hypnotherapy, the way I'm aware of it being practiced, there's a lot of suggestions being put into your subconscious mind, and those suggestions are supposed to, change your pattern and so forth. But I keep thinking about people like Neville Goddard, because Neville teaches very strongly the concept of not just going with a thought, but living it in your mind, living the scene. So for instance, he tells the story of the guy who wanted to manifest having a franchise of the Arthur Murray system in his town and ended up getting the franchise. And the way he visualized it was he imagined himself actually standing in the room with the regional director, shaking hands with him as the regional director congratulated him for having his new franchise. And he imagined himself standing on the floor. He could feel the handshake and he could hear the words in his mind. He was creating this entire scene and turning it into a physical experience in his mind. And it just seems to me that hypnotherapy, I don't know to what degree a true hypnotherapist gets you to that point. But I would think that would be a more effective form of hypnotherapy than just saying, you will attract this new franchise. You will be successful. You know, because what seems to me to be the more traditional approach, it just doesn't really get to the meat of the feeling of it. Now, am I wrong about that? Have I just misunderstood?
No, you're exactly right. I mean, there's several different forms of hypnotherapy and you know, different methods, but I call the one you're talking about is more of a visualization. You know, it's more of a manifestation visualization. I want to implant the thought, the reality of it. When we get into the state, you know, I want you to smell. I want you to, you know, taste. What does it feel like? Really get a visual, almost creating, implanting a movie a high definition movie in somebody's brain of that visualization of living it, sort of like a vision board on steroids at the subconscious level.
Mm-hmm.
You know, where you can really, you know, taste it or, you know, I want you to, you know, one of the things I have them do, I say, okay, I want you to go online a bit while we're talking about this. I want you to, you know, open up your bank account. I mean, I will find out what bank they're with and all that. And just say, okay, you go on to Bank of America and I want you to look under your account and you see, you know, what we've talked about all these goals and stuff. You see you have $438,616 in your account. You've met that goal. You've exceeded that goal. You plan on, you know, so I have them literally, you know, you made this deposit. How are you going to make your deposits when you're in the, so whatever we're seeking, you know, in a relationship, what does it look like? What are you going to do in the relationship? So I have them in their mind created, and it's such an effective tool because you're living as if in this trance, you know, sort of that when you're in the trance, you're in this state of mind that you're there and you sort of, that becomes your reality and there's no chance that it can't be fulfilled when you really buy into it.
Right. Yeah. Because that state of mind makes all the difference. And I would think, now you correct me if I'm wrong. And Alice, I mean, Alice, have you ever gone through any kind of a hypnotherapy like this? But have you?
No, but it's funny because we were talking about it before the show. So I feel like I manifested this whole conversation.
Well, you probably did.
So, you know.
I wasn't on that talk, so that was good. I mean, it's right. A good point. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, Joel, if you ever want to use me as a guinea pig, I'm the LOA guinea pig, if you didn't know.
Okay. I'll certainly take that in consideration. I've never done one long distance is the problem. I'm finding people, again, anything that I choose to do, I want to be proficient at it. So mm-hmm. while I'm already qualified, well beyond qualified to do it by the standards sort of provided, mm-hmm. I want to be super comfortable with me. So I'm doing, working with several clients on a pro bono basis right now, just sort of as guinea pigs.
Mm-hmm.
And the results have been astonishing. And I want to become so proficient at it. I mean, I've worked with young athletes, helping improve their game. I've worked with a lot of people with anxiety issues, weight issues, smoking. I have one lady who swears up and down she quit smoking after two hypnotherapy sessions. I'm like, okay, I don't know how you did that, but she did. And we spent, you know, 45 minutes in a trance while she's living smoke free. She's mm-hmm. able to sit through the entire meal. She's able to enjoy the after dinner conversation by not having to run outside in the rain and smoke and sort of people stare at her because she's one of the few people that still smokes. And so she was able to visualize a smokeless environment in her life.
Mm-hmm.
And she claims there were just zero cravings because instead of saying, don't smoke, don't smoke, don't smoke, which was a creating that craving because you're fighting it versus, you know, what a great life this is if I'm not involving addictive behavior or having to run outside. She was looking at how it would feel not to be a smoker versus the struggle of trying to quit smoking, and that worked
right
for her.
Yeah, that makes sense. And I love the fact that you used the word claim there because that goes back to what we were talking about a little while ago.
Mm-hmm.
Want, desire, choose, and claim, claiming the strongest one. She claimed it. She claimed it for her own. She said, this is mine.
Yes. Yes.
That's powerful.
And
that's
becomes such, yeah. And so that's why I'm excited about the concept of this, you know, the hypnotherapy, and being able to use it with a law of attraction. You know, I don't know if there, you know, of course other people do. I'm not claiming to have invented this, but I know a lot of hypnotherapy has always sort of been based on sort of a therapeutic model of, you know, using the word don't do this or, and to me that just emphasizes what we don't have. Mm-hmm. So by using sort of a law of attraction concept with and incorporating the whole tool of hypnotherapy, I just think that's the perfect combination that one day done properly will, will really be sort of a standard. Again, there's other people doing it. I know Tony Robbins and a couple of the other guys are big believers in this. I don't know how much emphasis is placed on that, but it really is. I know Tony does a lot of self-hypnosis and finds it to be a great tool. I also train people while we're doing it, because there's a statement that all hypnosis is self-hypnosis. Sometimes you have a facilitator, but you can get to a place that you don't need somebody to do it for you. That's what I'm shooting for. It's not only me doing this, but it's also teaching them how to put themselves in the right state of mind through conditioning and to go into a self-hypnosis, that they can continue this as self-improvement in all areas.
And yet it is valuable to have somebody to guide you through it. In fact, it makes me wonder, do you ever encourage people to take a recording like of the session that you did with them and to keep playing that recording throughout the week?
Yes, I there's two things I do. First of all, just for in today's environment, not that I'm trying to bring this about, but for safety, and everybody's aware of this, I record all sessions for safety, for many reasons. Safety for the client, safety for me. You make sure there's, you know, cause there have been many court cases with people claiming false memories have been implanted and stuff like that. So by me keeping a copy, stored on a computer, and them having a copy is great for them to refer to, and it serves many purposes doing that. But the biggest benefit is for them to be able to refer to it, watch it, and then pick up their own technique.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. That's huge. And plus every time that they're hearing it, they're reinforcing it, right? I mean, whether they're listening for it in order to improve their technique or just to listen to it, they're still reinforcing it. I mean, that's the same idea with a vision board. I've been doing it with what I call my vision videos. I have a vision video that I play very often. And one of the things in that video is the ideal house that Louise and I want to attract. And I've gotten to the point where I'm in love with that house just because I keep watching the video over again. So it raises the question, you know, how often should I be watching? Well, probably a lot.
And that's
why I'm thinking that, you know, with a hypnotherapy session, you got a good session like that. You want to keep playing that baby over and over.
You want to keep playing it. You play it enough so you can play it without actually playing it. That's what your goal is. You want to, one of the things that, you know, I do every morning, I have this, morning ritual of things I do. And, I listen to, you know, meditations and stuff, and I do meditations. I do all this. It's really good. But what I also do is there's a technique called rebounding, where you jump up and down a little trampoline, a lot of science behind all that. I'm a very big proponent of that. I do it in the morning and night. But while I'm jumping up and down on the trampoline, I listen to music, and a lot of the music I listen to, it's random. I don't listen to anything negative, but it's always just some random whatever. And that music is stuff that a lot of music is I haven't heard for 15 or 20 or 30 years sometimes. I just have this random loop of music. And I still remember not only the music, but I can remember life events attached to the music, things I was doing during that time. So that again, learning to associate the sounds and emotions and feelings and all this stuff with where we're at becomes a great tool. And the same thing you're doing when you're watching this, you know, your video over and over, if you watch it enough, you can just literally store it in the part of your brain that's no different than watching it. It's just, you can replay it in your head. Just like those old songs, they become part of you. You can't get them out of your head. Some of them you don't even want in your head, but they're there.
That's right. Exactly. Yeah. This is where it's important to be selective about what you're putting into your subconscious mind. That's true.
Yeah.
And you mentioned music. Actually, the video I put together for myself that I play for myself has music that I selected, and I mixed it in. I have like software to do all this. So I mixed it in so that everything plays exactly the way I want it to. And when you create a pleasing experience like that, not only does it reinforce you wanting to replay the video over and over again, but it also reinforces what the video is putting into your mind.
Right.
Quite a powerful combination to do sight and sound.
And smell sometimes.
Smells huge.
I smelled a crayon the other day and I had a flashback of kindergarten. It was crazy. Oh my gosh.
Well, yeah. It, it, And I have this example all the time too. You know, that I use is when I was a child, we used to go to the beach and, a lot during the summer, and the place we stayed at it literally was called Cedars West. It was a condo made out of cedar wood. Mm-hmm. And the room we stayed in was right by the pool. And so there was a chlorine and cedar smell.
Ooh.
Now it sounds horrible. It wasn't pleasant or it wasn't bad. It was just distinct.
Mm. Right.
And so we did that every summer. So every time I smell that very similar or same smell, it's very rare I do it, I flood back with memories, and I could even feel the emotion of where it was at. I mean, we had a lot of fun time. It was a great time every summer. You know, as I got older, some of them were some little more wild than others, but all of it good at the end. And I just look at that and I say, that smell brought me back. That's what we're trying to access, those type feelings. Mm-hmm. Now, I keep saying emotion, but you know, there's feelings, and maybe all feeling is emotion. I don't know, but I mean, more than anything, it's how you're feeling about something that fulfilled that again, I always use gratitude as a place where you're really feeling it. That's what the law of attraction picks up on. So smell, sight, you know, all that visual stuff, it's a combination. And again, in hypnotherapy, I had a lady, we were talking about her focus was, eating and trying to lose weight. Mm-hmm. So we got onto a constant. We mentioned spinach earlier. She loves spinach. She loves garlic. And, there's this recipe where you can, again, with olive oil, a little garlic, spinach, just lightly heat it up, very tasty. And I had her, that's her craving. She used to crave potato chips. She's craving now spinach, olive oil, and natural whole garlic. And so she's replaced the craving in her brain. So when she does have a craving, it is for something that she can really have about as much as she want of. And that is very satisfying to her. So mm-hmm. we've reprogrammed that.
That's so important. I mean, we've mentioned three of the five senses as all having a strong impact. Taste is one of the senses as well. And flavoring, taste is a huge motivator. You just described an excellent example of it, of how that motivation associated with this new pattern she's got in her brain keeps her wanting to come back for more for this healthy food. So one more example, and you mentioned emotions and feelings and I just wanted to reiterate, I think they all kind of tie together. I mean, an emotion is certainly different from a touch feeling and so on, but there, you really can't have a thought without having some sort of association with all that stuff. We may not be consciously aware of it. In the very early stages of having a thought, the volume might be really, really low, so low that you don't even notice it, but it's still there. And if you keep that, I mean, you learn this just by being a deliberate creator. We learn to focus on the thought and just stay with the thought and stay with the thought. Well, when you do that, the emotional context starts to grow and the sense context starts to grow. It just gets bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger in your mind. So all you need to do is just have that after a time. All you need is that whiff of the chlorine and the cedar and boom, everything just comes right back to you with all the emotions that are attached to it. So yeah, it's a powerful thing.
Yeah. And I think that's what we're seeking. The feeling that you want to create for the law of attraction to match. And that's where we're spending our energy. That's the money shot, so to speak, of this is where we're going. Here's what we're trying to attract. So I want to feel this. I want to feel it. And if I'm feeling it, if I'm trying to manifest something, but yet I'm having an anxiety based a reaction to it because I'm thinking it from lack, then again, law of attraction is going to keep picking up on the stuff that you're not intending for it to pick up on. Mm-hmm. But if you're feeling it and you're really, you know, it's just such an easy flow how that works. I spent a lot of energy over many years to understand how that goes, because I was one of the people that for a long time, money for me was the problem. Mm-hmm. And other areas of my life improved greatly, but money continued to be a problem. I didn't know what I was doing until I realized exactly, because money was my problem. Money was my problem. If that makes any sense. When I realized money wasn't my problem, it was my perspective toward money and the lack that I was attached into it. And everything changed instantly. I have an incomplete abundance. I'm in a position right now where money is not in the top 10 driving factors of what I do on a daily basis. The more attitude I keep toward that, the more it keeps coming in. Mm-hmm. I like that. I mean, it's just because it's just, you know, I laugh sometimes because it's what used to be the biggest thing in the world is like, nah, whatever. Yeah, we're fine. It's not a problem.
That's a good thing. I want to ask you something else too. This is something I've been experiencing lately, and I kind of suspect that it ties into what you experience with your practice and with your clients when you're practicing the hypnotherapy. But I find that when I am when I've been working on myself for a while, you know, which I have been doing. I've been doing it for all the time that I've been doing the podcast, and I have gotten to the point now where I feel pretty good inside. But my brain won't let me be aware of that. I detected that just recently. Right. I did a little test with myself and realized I was feeling really good, but I hadn't allowed myself to notice it. And I kind of suspect that's part of the reprogramming process, is just convincing yourself to get out of your own way to recognize, hey, things are pretty good right now.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. That's, and you know, one of the tools that I try to implement with everyone is just that, just literally what you said, things are pretty good, but because you've been conditioned for years, a lifetime, that things aren't okay. And that's why you can't even turn on the TV without things being not okay. Imagine spending a lifetime feeling one way subconsciously, and all of a sudden you're different. It's hard to go back from that. It's uncomfortable to get away from that. And so, you know, the idea that things are okay, that's the effective tool for me, and you got to develop it yourself, but the power of now, if that works for you, it works great for me. If I try to use the power of now on a daily basis, no matter where I'm at, and you know, I have clients coming in an incredible disarray. Their life is at any moment. I mean, there's 15 different avenues of chaos in their life. But if I can get them to live for that exact moment, you know, you're in my office. Nobody even knows you're here. You're safe. You have a place to sleep tonight. And let's get really simple. And right now, everything's fine. And if you can live in that moment right now, everything's fine, then you can get more monies of everything's fine.
That's good. That's powerful stuff. Alex is shaking her head. I get the feeling that you do that regularly, Alex. Am I wrong?
Well, yeah, I get. I recently had to break myself of the I don't have a problem feeling good and being in the moment, but I had to break myself of the habit of saying, I'm just waiting for the other shoe to drop.
Yes.
Oh, God, yeah.
So recently just started doing that, and I'm like, no, there is no other shoe. Both feet are on the ground. It's fine. And just the moment and accept things the way they are.
That's the conditioning we're talking about right there. I mean, you'll hear that often. I mean, I know professional, I mean, everybody, I mean, I'm waiting for the shoe to drop. Are you really? So in other words, you're hoping something bad happens is what you're saying. I'm not hoping. I'm just waiting for the shoe. Well, you're clearly inviting it. You're asking it to drop.
Yeah, exactly.
But it's such a conditioned place that again, breaking away from that, being okay with absolutely right now. Today, I am in absolute perfect health. I have the life I have worked my life to achieve. I've always wanted the life I have exactly right now. I'm living where I need to be. I have a career I love. My sons are healthy and I mean, I have a life that few people could ever dream of, and I'm living a dream right now, and that's awesome. And at this exact moment, I have the life that I can't imagine it being any better. It's amazing. So I'm very content, and I can attract more of this life by doing it, by breaking it down into today. There is no other shoe. There is no inevitability of all this. It's just right now, today, here we are. And then that can manifest in a great way.
Mm-hmm. That's cool. Before we wrap up the show, I just wanted to give people a chance to find out how they reach out to Joel in case they want more information about all this stuff. Because you throw out more stuff than we could possibly document in an episode on every single show. So how do they reach out to Joel Elston?
JoelElston@gmail.com is the simplest way to do it. My website is JoelElston.com. I'd love to help if I could. And I always tell everybody, I eventually get back to you. Sometimes it's not immediate. So if you do reach out, I will be back in touch.
And that is true. He always does get back to you. It just could take a while. But you know, give it time. Be patient. And he will. It's a guarantee. So, and then Alex, what's happening with Spoiler Alert? Anything new and exciting going on with the next episode?
Well, we're in season finale mode with a lot of the shows. And then there's a lot of summer revivals coming up. So it's getting interesting.
All right, good. Well, then we'll have to tune in and find out what's happening with latest spoilers. In the meantime, thank you guys so much for all this wonderful discussion. Joel, I mean, I love the shows that we do together, and you just reinforce it for me. So thank you very much. I appreciate you.
Thank you, Walt. I really love working with you. Alex, this is fantastic, and I can't wait till next week.
Sounds good to me. And thank you also to our podcast listeners and the people who are tuning in on the live stream as well. We'll see you all next time here on LOA Today. Goodbye, everybody.